We work together. That's what makes us strong as Southern Baptists, is us working together corporately. Just a reminder of that. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and open them to Genesis chapter 28, we're going to look at the little bit of the life of Jacob, three different times in his life as we work and see there. You'll see in your bulletin there on the top, you have the word Jehovah in a blank. We're going to be looking today at Jehovah Shammah. That's S-H-A-M-M-A-H. God is here, or the Lord is here. He is with us. Amen. And we have that assurance and that confidence that wherever we go, the Lord is there. As you're turning, I just want to give you a breakdown, a little bit of history about the life of Jacob to begin to set this up. You have heard oftentimes, if you've read much of the Old Testament, it talks about the fathers or our forefathers. We would say talk about God being the father of what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've looked at Abraham's life. We've looked at Isaac's. Today, I want us to look a little bit at Jacob's life. Who is Jacob? Where did Jacob come from? If he's such a vital part of the word, then let's just hear a little bit about this. Isaac and Rebekah came together, and they had a child, and his name was Jacob. If you remember, Isaac had been given a promise by God that he would have a child, and him and Rebekah were not able to have a child for a long time, and then finally God came through with that, and they had that child after Abraham and Sarah was Isaac's father. And then when Jacob was born, Jacob was actually a twin. His mother was pregnant. He had a twin. And when they were born, there was Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. He was the firstborn. It's very important that you hear. I'll repeat that. Esau was the firstborn of the family. He was due all of the rights and the majority of the heirship. Well, when he came out, Jacob was holding on to his heel when he was born, and Jacob was born second. Jacob's name is one who takes by the heel, or one who supplants. And we're going to see through a few verses, or as I talk a little bit about Jacob, that he fit his name very well. He was a supplanter. He was one who would try to go about it in his own way or a different way. Esau, after he was born, the story goes on that he was the oldest since he was the firstborn. And one day he was out hunting. He come home. He was very hungry. Jacob was fixing some food, and it smelled really good to him. Those of you who have hunted, have you ever been out in the woods all day and you come home and you're just famished? And he smelt this good food, and Jacob, being conniving as he is, matching up to his name, says, "I will sell you my food." He says, "If you give me your birthright, you can have some food." Well, you know what Esau was thinking? Well, what good's a birthright if I die anyway? I'm just so hungry. So he gave up his birthright over some food. Well, later, as the story goes, Father Isaac is getting ready to die. He has a blessing that is passed down to the firstborn child. Isaac calls him in. He says, "Isaac, I'm beginning to get old. It's time now for me to do the blessing." And Isaac was a hunter, and Isaac was a very hairy man. Esau was a hunter and a very hairy man. And Isaac told him, "Go out and get some game, come back and cook it, and come in, and I will give you the blessing." Well, Mother Rebekah is listening to this whole story, and Mother Rebekah really liked Jacob. So she called Jacob, and she said, "Isaac can't see very well anymore. He's getting ready to give the blessing. Here's what you're going to do for me." She says, "You're going to go and you're going to get ready." She says, "I'm going to cook some food. You're going to take it in and you're going to give it to your father, Isaac, and you're going to tell him that you're Esau." And he won't know any different. He can't see. But Mama, there's a problem with that. Esau is very hairy. So his mama took some fur off of one of the lambs and she put them on his arms and on the back of his neck. And she said, go get some of your brother's clothes. And he put them on and he took the food. And here he goes again. Jacob, matching up to his name, goes into his father who can't see very well. And he says, Father, it's Esau. I'm here for my blessing. Isaac goes, doesn't sound like you, Esau. It sounds like Jacob. Says, why don't you come and hug me? So he goes over and Isaac takes a whiff. Remember, Jacob had his clothes on. It smells like Esau. Then he put his hands up on the back of his neck and on his arm. It feels like Esau. Well, it must be. So he eats the food, and then he begins to give the blessing over to Jacob, the supplanter. Shortly after he walks out, here comes Esau. He's all ready. He runs in. Father, it's Esau. Isaac says, I just gave the blessing. And then they both realized what happened. He said, Father, is there anything left for me? He said, I've already given the blessing of the first right. But he said, I will pray for you and bless over your family that you would become great and mighty. Now here you have two brothers who come out of a womb. Wouldn't this there's a fighting, but one holding on to the other and a life of supplanting all the way. God honored the blessing over Jacob. God honored the blessing over Esau, multiplied both of their families. And let me tell you today, the lineage from both of those families are still around, and it's the result of all of the conflict we see going on between two nations over there now. Two nations come up out of this line. Well, Esau was mad. He was out for blood, like most of us might be. He's going to kill. He's ready to kill his brother Jacob. Rebekah hears it. She talks to Isaac, and they come together, and they send Jacob off. Jacob is to go and to marry from his side of the family because he is in that line and they want to keep it within there. And this is where we're at now. If you would stand with me, Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of people. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take to himself a wife from there, and that he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother, and had gone to Paddan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word today. Your servants are listening. Holy Spirit, would you reveal your word? Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And amen. We see here that he is sent off to find a wife. He's not to find a wife of Canaan. Well, what's the matter with the women of Canaan? Isn't that God's promised land? Don't we remember him leading them out? Yes, but we're before that time. The land of Canaan here is not the land that has been handed over to the Israelites as of yet. This is a land filled with the people who are not God's chosen people, not the Hebrews. And they're sent out to find a wife. And Jacob goes and he finds a wife. But we see here his brother, Esau, is not very happy with his father. And I don't know if you've ever seen any children that maybe did this. Daddy wants this, so I'm going to do this. Daddy wants Jacob to go off and to find a wife, not from the people around here. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go and do exactly the opposite. And the feud continues on for a number of years, and eventually there is a restoration there. But we see that Jacob is obedient, and Jacob begins a journey. He begins walking to go and to find his mother's brother, go to Laban and to find a wife from there. And I want to continue reading in 28 to you the scripture. And I want you to listen, because along the way, you heard just briefly in the children's story there that Jacob has a dream, a very interesting dream. Let's listen. Beginning Genesis 28, verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lie down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of a God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, the land of which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. The stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So he begins a journey, leaving his mother and father, headed to his uncle's place, Uncle Laban. And on the way, it begins to become nighttime. And I find this interesting because I know, I don't know about you, sometimes when I travel, I like to travel at night. There's a little less cars on the road. It's just a little, sometimes a more peaceful. But what we understand is we're not living when they were living. And it was very customary in their day that when the sun began to set, you would find a place to sleep. You wouldn't travel at the nighttime. So it tells us that the sun began to set and he spent the night there, and he took a stone and made a pillow. I just have to stop right there. I like my pillow. And I like my soft pillow. Amen? This is a stone. It's rock hard. But he lays his stone down and he lays on it and he goes to sleep and he begins to dream. Can you just imagine dreaming and you're in this place and you see this ladder? The ladder goes from earth to heaven, and up and down this ladder, angels are moving back and forth. They're coming down to earth. They're going up. And then it tells us there at verse 13, and it says, "Behold, the Lord stood above it." This could also be translated "stood beside it." Don't know if he was standing beside him or above him. Either way, we have a ladder going to heaven. We know that. And we know that angels are going up and down it. And we know that God begins to speak to Jacob. And he begins to reiterate, he begins to give him this covenant, this promise that's now been passed down from Abraham to Isaac, and now it's coming down to Jacob. And he tells him that this land that he's on will eventually be his, and in his, it tells us at verse 14, "In you and in your descendants," or your seed, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What is he talking about there? We're getting this same covenant that comes down through Jacob's descendants. We get the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would say that that's a blessing to me. Is that a blessing to you? Can you say amen? Maybe raise your hand. Jesus is the blessing. And Jesus is the blessing to all the families of the earth. And he's passing this down once again, Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. And Jacob is asleep there. We also see this ladder going up and down, and angels go up and down. And I don't believe that the Lord just happened to show him that for entertainment in the background. I believe that God uses his angels to come and his angels work here on earth. Might not be an angel with his wings flapping around. I ain't never seen one of those. Sometimes angels are being used in other people God uses. Sometimes God sends his angels that are watching over us that we never see. But we see a picture here that they're coming down and that they're going back up. And God wanted him to see that. Let him know, "I'm with you. I'm going to be with you." Amen. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we never have to worry where the Lord is. He's right here. The Holy Spirit comes and he resides in us to enable us and to empower us to do what he's called us to do. This life we live in the flesh, it's a difficult life. I'll be the first one to tell you that. It's not easy. But God enables us through the power and the presence of his Spirit. And we see here that he's telling Jacob that he is going to be with him. He's going to be there. And when Jacob woke up, here we go again. Remember, names are important. And the place where he was, it said, was formerly Luz, but now he called it Bethel because God is in this place, or this is the house of God. He saw that God was there and that God was with him. So Jacob wakes up. He begins to make his journey. He goes on his way. He goes to Laban and finds a wife. He works for Laban for many years. And different things happen, and there's things going on back and forth. And then God tells him, basically, it's time to go back home. And over in verse 32, chapter 32, if you would turn there, chapter 32, we're going to listen closely as we follow this, beginning in verse 24. Again, we're going to see that Jacob goes to rest, and dream or no dream, we don't know for sure. But listen to what happens. "Then Jacob was left alone." Now, what does it mean, left alone? Jacob is making his way back home. He's got his wife and his children. That much time has passed. And he sends them on ahead. His brother Esau is making his way. He's shaking in his boots. "Is Esau coming to kill me? Or is he coming to be a friend, be my brother again?" So he sends everyone, his servants, animals, wives, children, everything over, and he stays behind, and that's where we're at here. "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. We're taking now Jacob, the supplanter. The covenant is being passed down to him, and now he's having a name change because he's no longer going to be supplanter. He's going to be used by God. And he gets the name Israel, and we hear that oftentimes. The father of Israel, or father Israel. Jacob and Israel are the same, where his name has changed. Here he is sleeping, and we cannot imagine this, but he's wrestling with someone. They're fighting, and it's going back and forth. And then the sun begins to come up, and this one says that he has to go, and Jacob is so into what's going on that he knows there's something special, and he begins to strive and he begins to struggle. He says, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." He knew who it was. He was wrestling with God. And the one said that he would, but he wouldn't reveal his name. He touched his hip and put his hip out of place. What can we get from this, church? Do you understand that Jacob so knew that he was willing to wrestle until he got what he wanted? Not a selfish want. He's wanting a blessing from God. Do we ever take it serious enough when we pray with God, when we get into God's word, that we strive and that we wrestle and that we keep seeking God, and that we don't give up until God blesses us? We know God's capable of blessing. I know there's times in my life that I can read God's word, I'll ask him for something, and I move on and I go on. But there's times, church, that we have to get real. And we have to wrestle with God. Sometimes we have to wrestle with Scripture. What is it saying? Let me tell you, if you ever pick up God's word and you choose to read a section and you get nothing out of it, please do not close your Bible. I don't care how long it takes. You stay there until the Lord reveals something, because there's something in his word every time we open it. Satan doesn't want us to hear those things. Satan doesn't want us to grasp those. We have to wrestle with it. We have to wrestle and we have to seek God, and we have to not give up until he answers and he reveals himself to us. And we see others in the scripture that have served and fought with the Lord, that there's some element. You know, sometimes God gives us a kick there in the side, doesn't say he kicked me, but a touch there. He gives us something, and I believe maybe he did this to Jacob to keep him humble. Because you know, if God had spoke to him, he just walked off all proud and look at who I am, God's chose me for that. No, God was keeping him humble, but also a reminder that he had met with God and that God had changed who he was. Let me also just read to you from over in chapter 35. It says, "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name.' Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply.'" Be honest with you, when I read this, I kind of struggled just a little bit. I was like, well, over here he wrestled with God, And God touched his hip and God changed his name to Israel. Now we're sometime later and we see God there talking to him again, saying that your name is Jacob and that it's Israel. I looked around and struggled. I was like, why are we having this twice? So I'll be honest, I called a dear friend of mine, a highly respected one of my teachers, and said, help me here. I said, I'm fixing to preach this and I got to understand. It happened over here. Why are we seeing it again over here? It's very common in Hebrew writing for it to be reiterated. And we're seeing here that God did this again because God is taking from this point and he is now setting Israel or Jacob on his mission in this covenant. And he begins to multiply, and we see out of Jacob's lineage that we get the 12 tribes of Israel. Have you ever heard that name? 12 tribes of Israel, the nation Israel, but also it is the 12 sons of Jacob, who is now called Israel. And they go in, eventually they're going to be in Egypt. They're going to be taken into captivity. You know, they became slaves, and we're going to see just quickly down the road where God brings them out, and he brings them to the land of Canaan, so that they can take over that land that was promised to Abraham. And then it was promised to Isaac where he was at. Then when Jacob was there, the covenant was handed down. And we continue to see this all the way till we get to the New Testament, when we get the new covenant in Jesus Christ, the salvation for all. We see all of this is depicting what's going to happen through Jesus. So here we are. Name change. Here we are with our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who becomes Israel because God has a special plan for you and for me, and that's salvation. And it takes place beginning right here as they're obedient. And they begin to follow, and God begins to fulfill the rest of the Old Testament, that promise for all families and for all nations that would come through Jesus Christ, his son. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you for your love. Father, I just pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, as we walk through these people. Lord, these lives that you touched, and Father, that you put into Scripture to teach us who you are and to show us who you are. And Father, we see all through Jacob's life, Lord, that you are there. Father, you are present with him. Even when he's out in the wilderness and he thinks he's alone, you're there. Father, thank you for that picture, because Lord, when we're in the wilderness, where we're in a dry spell in our life, Father, we know that you're there, because your word tells us that. Father, when we are in need of strength, you're there because your word tells us that. Father, we can trust you because you are there, because you are faithful, because you are holy. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Would you just stand where you are?